So any questions?
Yes, Maharaj. The first question is that when do we know that it is the right time to let go and let Krishna look after us? When we no longer have to think about our own well-being, maintenance, or protection? In a neophyte position, is it a possibility or would it be delusional or dangerous?
If we look at Sharanagati, surrender is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prapanna Jivanamritam of Srila Guru Maharaj, we'll see that actually, well, according to Srila Guru Maharaj, Jiva Goswami says, Goptritve Bharan, putting oneself under the exclusive protection of the Lord is really the principal limb, anga, sadanga sharanagati. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajanam, rakshasya titi, vishvasa, goptitve bharanam yata. So, from the very beginning, one is trying the proverbial leap of faith to move in that direction, move in the faithful plane, despite perceived consequences. We know that the Bhagavad Gita, so many things are considered, put forth by Arjuna as worthy considerations about how to proceed, how he should act, and he's surrounded by karmic circumstances that seem inescapable. And after so much discussion, in the end, Srila Krishna, Sarvadharmam Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo, Moksha Yishami Masuchaha. So what to speak of other things, sarva dharmam, even religious considerations. Mam ekam sharanam, braja, braja saranam, means exclusive surrender to Krishna. As Srila Kaviraj Goswami points out, shraddha, shabde, vishvasa, kohe, sudrida, nischoy, Krishna bhakti, koile, sarva karma, krita hoy. Faith means the belief in this possibility, the belief in this prospect that just by surrendering myself to Krishna, by offering myself in service, taking shelter of the lotus feet of his devotee, that nothing else needs to be considered. Ahang tvang sarva papebhyo, including if one might be accused by this act of self-surrender, of neglecting certain responsibilities or way they should behave in the world or towards their relatives, their family, their community, society, the time and place and circumstance in which they live. If they're worried about impending reactions to this act of self-surrender, and that something negative might come from it, Krishna says, ahang tvang sarvapap, sarvapapebhyo. Any sin that might come from it, I'll digest that, right? We're given the example of fire. Whatever you throw into the fire, it disintegrates. It doesn't pollute or contaminate the fire. So Krishna, in a sense, is addressing this hesitation, knowing that that's how we feel, that we can ask questions like this. Ahang tuang sarva papebyo. Moksha isami masu chaha. This person is saying, don't worry. I know your faith is small. It's very limited. Where it's tainted with calculation. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udarade tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. The Bhagavatam says, whatever your considerations, if you're akama, you're desireless, which is unlikely. Akama, sarvakama, full of desire. We can say mundane aspirations, mundane ambition. Moksha kama, you're desirous of liberation. You're sick and tired of living in the world of exploitation. You want release, relief from all this negativity. Saying whatever your position is, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Go to Krishna to satisfy these things. I remember one devotee lady, after her, within Krishna consciousness, and she was married, and after some time she became disillusioned with her husband and the married position and all of that, and she was asking Srila Prabhupada for some guidance, some support, some reassurance, and Prabhupada answered in a very interesting way. He said, accept Krishna as your husband, and he will never disappoint you. I mean, he could say that and you could believe it. But I thought that was a very beautiful thing. Accept Krishna. As he's, that's what he can say that with in a meaningful way and with authority, because he's done that. Right? He's not asking someone to do something he hasn't done. He is wholly given himself over to Krishna. So he can turn to others and say, this is my advice to you. So we're, in the words of Srila Saraswati Thakur, to me it sounds almost humorous, but he said, what we call the world, that is what is troubling us. It sounds so similar, but if you say, what is it that's disturbing us or causing so much anxiety and worriedness? Oh, it's what we call the world. What we commonly refer to as the world, that's what is the problem. When Guru Maharaj presented his all risk, no gain, when at the onset he said to me, he said, so we're familiar with the expression, no risk, no gain. And I thought, yes, I was thinking of myself. I said, that's what I risked everything to come to you, take shelter of your holy lotus feet, and I gained way beyond whatever it is I thought I was risking. So I'm very happy with that idea. But that we should understand, no risk, no gain. Nahi kalyanakrit kaschid durgatim tatagaschiti. There are perceived obstacles. Durgam patas tat kaveo bidanti. When I was in a anxious position and seeing so many signs and symptoms in the environment that were not favorable or encouraging. Srila Gurudev, as if anticipating what I was thinking or sensing what was in my heart, sent me a very short email with this quote, Durgam patastat kaveo vidanti. Durgam here means obstacles. He said, the kovida means those in the know. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. They say that this path is covered with many obstacles. So it was his way of acknowledging what I was perceiving, but also cautioning or warning that this will be seen along the way. In fact, when Gurudev was on a train, when he was Gaurindu Brahmachari, Calcutta, Navadvip, Navadvip, Calcutta, just as they refer sometimes to devotees as, you know, Hare Krishnas or Hare Krishna. So the Bengalis would see devotees and call them Gaurangas. They go, hey, Gauranga. And his name is, you know, Gaurindu. Hey, Gauranga. Why do the Gaurangas get sickness? That they should be free from all of these things. You're so much pleasing to your Lord, and you should be exempt from tapitrai, from the threefold miseries of material existence. Yet we see the sadhus, they're suffering in different ways. And Gurudev, remember, he's just a boy at the time, and he told them, he said, no, just the opposite. He said, because by the grace of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav, we're escaping Maya, we should be attacked more by these things. Those who are obedient servitors, they should fare well. But those who are escaping, we can understand some program to dissuade them. As Guru Maharaj told about Prahlad Maharaj, many things we can learn from Prahlad Maharaj and his charit, the activities, character, his story. But one of them, Guru Maharaj said, is it tells us, if you decide to go on the path of devotion, prepare yourself for a life of trouble. He said, you know, the world, they're not going to have a parade in your honor because you decided to give up material existence, to give up being a card-carrying member of the world of exploitation. They're all going to applaud you and say, what a wonderful, noble thing you've done. Rather, people are going to say, you're weak-minded, you're unable to participate in society and family and everything that's expected of you. You're shirking your responsibilities. And like, what is that? Mugdam mam nigadantu nipi nipuna prashta. I read Madhavendra Puri, where he's mentioning all the people who are opposed to the pursuit of devotion, whether it be family members, society, the media, whatever it is. You can fill in your own criteria. And he said, so they may say, I've lost my mind, I've joined a cult, I'm acting irresponsibly, I'm weak-minded. He goes through a whole list of all the things that can be said. And then he adds one more. He said, and you can add to that, that what ostensibly, what I gave up all these things for, the world and everything in it, for this particular thing, Krishna, Karshna, he said, I don't have. Add that to the list. That what I gave this all up for, I haven't achieved it. And then the kicker comes, he says, but I'm not going to budge an inch from this pursuit. it's very beautiful. And he says, yeah, maybe you're all right, what you're saying. And that very thing that I'm searching for, trying to achieve, you didn't get it. But I'm not going to budge an inch from this pursuit. Govinda Pada Spriham, my aspiration to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Radhika Madhavasam, under the direction of Radharani and Rupa Nugalain. So, but interestingly, we said anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulya, accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable, etc. But we know in Sharanagati, in some of Bhaktivinoda's songs, the one he begins with the word atmanivedanam, saying, have to, at the basis of this, ado arpita paschad kriyata, has to be some self-giving, or it won't be meaningful. Right? For it to be a meaningful and substantial transaction, there has to be self-giving, and Guru Maharaj's words, self-dissipation. Whatever we've accumulated in terms of karmic resources, they need to be employed, engaged, offered in service to the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnav, Krishna's delegated representatives. And as Guru Maharaj says, that like the sandalwood, as you take the sandalwood and grind it into the stone, it's converted into its essence. So by whatever resources we've gathered, iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira nikalasvapi avastasu jivan mukta sa uchite, we're to offer those things and service, and that's how they are, instead of binding, they become liberating. And such a devotee or aspiring servitor can expect Krishna's mercy and shelter. There are many slokas in different parts of the Bhagavatam and elsewhere where Krishna's acknowledging, particularly I think Ambarish section in the 9th canto, saying, when someone has given up everything for me, how can I abandon such a person? Krishna on a higher level in the Rasa Pantadhyay, when he's teasing the gopis or seemingly mercilessly teasing them or pressing them deeper, one of the things he says to them is that you gave up your family for me, but I didn't do that for you. I'm ashamed of myself. You gave up everything for me. That's what Guru Maharaj said. What began as no risk, no gain. Then he said, but you know, there is a higher plane. And I thought, oh, what's that? He said, all risk and no gain. Right? You'll give up everything for Krishna and he won't give up anything for you. How does that sound? We like the part where, as they surrender to me, even Stephen, right? I'll surrender to Krishna, and then he's gonna, there'll be a deposit in my bank account, But Guru Maharaj is preparing. No, he's saying you risk everything, you'll surrender to everything, and Krishna won't, nothing for you. How about that? All risk, no gain. Are you ready for that? So when I heard this, I thought, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Let me look at the fine print. I want to see the contract. I'd see, how am I protected? What is it? Napariyeham, Nirvadisam Samujam. Krishna says, I can't reciprocate with you. That's why. It's a trick. There's something very beautiful to be found there. Why not reciprocating? Krishna says, I don't have enough to give you. When you give yourself, heart and soul to me, your heart, what's in your heart is so valuable, I can't reciprocate that. Right? So let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Like there's the aphorism, virtue is its own reward. But still, we're nervous, wondering. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavritam anukuryena krishna anushilanam bhakti ritam. So Guru Maharaj said, it's perception. He's saying, you think it's all risk and no gain because what we call the world, that's what's troubling us and coloring our understanding of things. We really think this place is substantial. Right? There are history books about it. Right? You can go to school and read history books. You can study geology and find out how old the earth is. You know, we can go to a Chinese museum and see some like old teapots. Right? And they go, this teapot's $1 million. Because it's, you know, what, 5,000 years old and used by the Empress of China or something. Whoa, that must be good tea. You know? We think this world is substantial. So Guru Maharaj said, because we believe in all this stuff, we think, oh, I'm risking so much. And then, and no gain, because what the spiritual side of things sounds like, abstract, fantasy, right? The Krishna conscious side of things, what cannot be seen. It's one reason why Brahmins are, Krishna likes them. He, you know, namo brahmanya devaya go brahmana hitaya cha. Because what most people are having a hard time wrapping their head around is in their DNA, how to see things spiritually, how to detect the spiritual undercurrent, how to see through the superficial and detect the spiritual. It's flowing in them naturally. Doesn't mean they will necessarily be Vaishnavas, but there's a likelihood, right? So they're, otherwise, why are they singled out by Krishna? Because of the natural spiritual tendency. So Guru Maharaj is saying, so it appears to be all risk and no gain, but actually, in time, you will realize, he said, just as, you know, if you're going east, automatically you're withdrawing from west. So when you, when faith is developed, right, then you'll see, I didn't risk anything. It was actually no risk and all gain. That's what it is. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, something so valuable that Krishna finds it irresistible. Think about that, even just from a theoretical point of view. Who created everything? What are you going to do? Like they used to have a saying in advertising, what do you give to the man who has everything? Well, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Ahangi Sarva Yajnanam, Ahang Sarvasya Prabhavo. What do you give to him? Like, really nice silk. I mean, we do that for the deity. That we understand. Or really nice, we can think of really nice things. But for Krishna, What could you possibly give him that he doesn't already have? There's one thing. There's only one thing you possess that we can say, in a sense, temporarily, that Krishna doesn't have. Your heart. That's what you possess. And that's what he's interested in, actually. If you can give the silk with your heart, that's good. Right? But there's no substitute for heart giving. Right? Like we use the word bhav. And for so long, Prabhupada is saying, you know, like mood, and Guru Maharaj is saying mood sometimes too. But this particular day, Guru Maharaj is saying, no, mood is something you can say, another word. You're talking about Radha Bhava Dyuti Subha, Bhavan Kanti, Radharani. And he's saying, oh, and many suggestions are coming. Then finally Guru Maharaj said, heart, Bhav. When we say Gopi Bhav, means the heart of a Gopi. Radha Bhav means the heart of Radharani. Bhakta Bhav means the heart of the devotee. That's amazing. I mean, then that's the good news. We have something that Krishna is potentially interested in. It's our hearts. Guru Maharaj liked to quote this Bengali poet who said, you know, I don't know what the word, what is the Russian word for cultivation? To like plant seeds and cultivate. Okay, forget it. If it was Spanish, it could be like cultivo. I mean, something close, right? There you go. So the Cossack in the back. That's what I'm looking for. Saying, you know, to cultivate, it's because in English it works that you like culture, cultivate. It means it has to deal with like planting seeds in the ground, but it can also be interpreted on other levels, like culture and cultivating, you know, a particular type of consciousness or something. So this poet said, if we take it that in this context, the heart is the soil, what if you cultivate the heart, what can it produce? What can come out of that soil? That's what the Krishna consciousness movement is all about. And Bhakti Lata Bij, when that which comes from Guru and Vaishnav, when proper Krishna conception, Pravishta karna randrena svanam bhavam saroruham dunoti shamalam krishna shalirasya yata sharat. When it enters through the channel of the ear and goes in the heart. That's why Guru Maharaj said, incidentally, we should be careful of what sound we listen to, because sound goes to the heart, whatever it is, not just the good stuff. Right? Sound goes into the heart. But there, so Krishna conceptions enters the heart. We hear, and admittedly, it's not in the fully developed. We say Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of Krishna conception, just like that, planting the seed in the soil. I remember when I was a child and somehow I got interested in flowers. I was around 5. And I don't know where I heard, but you could take these seeds, put them in the soil, and flowers would come out. It sounded pretty amazing. So I went with my mother to the store and look at all these, you know, they have burpee was the company. They have all these flower seeds. And I saw these ones called 4 o'clock. And I thought, that's really weird, you know. They bloom at 4, I gotta see this, you know. Somebody like cleared the soil, put these little sticks up with string going around, you know, so much distance, go down, plant the seeds, put the soil over, poured some water on. The next day I was out there at like 3:45. You know. And my mother said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You know, in 15 minutes they're going to bloom, blossom, or you know, whatever the word is." She said, "No, it's not going to be like that." I said, "Well, it says on the package, 4 o'clock. She said, "Yes, but it's going to take a while. Every day you will come here and pour some water, and then you'll, little weeds, you pluck those, keep the soil nice. And maybe in a month or two, the little leaves are going to come out, some stems, and then those flowers are going to come." Because I was so young, that sounded like eternity, right? Like 2 weeks, you know, or 1 month. What is a month? You know, so when we hear these things, we're thinking like, you know, why am I, I'm not Krishna conscious yet? Or I used to really be enlivened in the beginning. I'm not so enlivened right now. Why is that? Vishwanath deals with that too. Ganatara, you know, the clouds will come. So many things are described. But the good news is, Guru Maharaj said, in the sloka where it says, Gyane prayasa mudapasana manta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya bhartam stane stita shrutikatam dhanavan manobir ye prayaso jita jita jito piyasi taistrilokyam. And it's similar to stane stita, like no diksham nacha satkriyam puruschajam managikshate mantra yam rasana sprigeva palati Sri Krishna namatmaka. Whatever the condition is of the soil, we can say the pH balance of the soil, the seed of Krishna in it, and springs out of that soil according to his own desire. And that is the point. But Guru Maharaj said, the experts will say, Stane stita shruti gatam tanavan manovir. If you've heard Harikatha from a substantial Vaishnava, they say, you're finished. We're thinking it's forever. The experts are saying, no, they got this quality of seed of Krishna in their consciousness. Their mundane existence is finished today or tomorrow. A month from now. And we're thinking, no, month is too, it's forever. It'll never come. It's too far away. But Guru Maharaj says, the experts aren't thinking like that. They think, got the connection with a genuine devotee of Krishna? Finished. They're happy to see that. They know. It's like Guru Maharaj said, if you're suffering from a particular disease and you meet other physicians or something, and they say, who's your doctor? And you mention the name of a particular doctor who they all revere and hold in the highest esteem. They go, consider yourself cured. Because they know he's the best. That's what they're saying. Came in connection with a genuine devotee of Krishna. And that Krishna nam, that Krishna conception entered their hearts. Today or tomorrow, their mundane life is finished. And the leader says that Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Biprut Sakrida Dana Viduta Danda Dharma Vinashta Sapari Kutumbam Dinam Utsrija Dina Bahuva Bihanga Bhikshu, I forget the rest. Hangsa something. Radharani herself, she's talking about the effects yad anucharita lila karna piyusha viprut means a drop of the nectar of hearing about Krishna. Dharma vinashta. All the bad things, everything is destroyed by a drop of this substance. And Guru Maharaj said, like the robbers who, there's a safe or a vault and they put this special type of acid and then the lock opens up and the door comes open and they get the treasure. She's saying it's like that. When you hear about Krishna, a drop of the nectar, Krishna nectar, what is it? Like Krishna Karnamritam. Krishna Karnamritam. Karna Amrita. The Krishna ear nectar goes into the ear, lands on the heart, then mundane life is finished. And they say, no, we still see some residual action, movement. Yes, like if you pull the a fan is spinning, the karmic fan is spinning, disconnected from the source, it's still spinning for some time, but it will come to a halt, it will stop. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur said, why, I mean, just to pursue this a little bit, saying then, what is it that happens in a neophyte devotee in that and mentioned in the beginning? That conception of Krishna comes to them. Is that the full one? It's not the full one. They cannot say candidly or honestly, they're seeing Krishna. Like Narada says in the Bhagavad, when I sing the glories of the Lord, he appears on my heart as if called for. When some man in the time of Gaudiya Math, he wanted to ask Saraswati Thakur a question privately, and he said, or Guru Maharaj said, two chairs were drawn to a secluded place. Somehow Guru Maharaj was nearby, like hiding in the bushes, like Jayamini Rishi in the Bhagavatam. But, and you know, like, and that man, like, here's Saraswati Thakur's face, here's the man's face, and the man said, have you seen God? And Saraswati Thakur, according to Guru Maharaj, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, that's irrelevant to your position. And he said something that our Srila Prabhupada Swamiraj said so many times. He said, you need to learn the process to see God. That you need. There is a way. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, actually, the neophyte devotee, some Krishna conception is coming to them. Right? But it's appropriate to their level of self-giving, self-sacrifice, and surrender. As Gurudev said, quoting one of Guru Maharaj's godbrothers, is it 5%, 20%, 25%, 50%, 95%? To what degree is that level of embrace, acceptance, self-giving, self-offering, and having taken shelter? An honest devotee cannot say much about that. Why? Because, again, the leader, Srimati Radharani, Guru Maharaj said, she says, I'm famous in the world for having devotion to Krishna. But, this is a shame because the truth is I could not and have not really given myself to him. So it's a false reputation. My, durdevam, durdeva vilas, my bad luck, my misfortune is that I couldn't really, truly, fully give myself to Krishna. she says that. And what are we going to say? Oh, I joined the Krishna consciousness movement on this date at this time. I got initiated. I did this. I did that. Yeah, but, you know, Atmani Vedan or Dikshakale Bhaktakore Atma Samarpan. I'm not trying to discourage anyone, but encourage all of us, myself included, to take this more seriously, go more deep. Another way to, we say, oh, at the time, Diksha Kale, the time of Diksha, Bhakta Kore, Atma Samarpan becomes equal to Krishna, we can say, because of no separate interest. Right? But another way, I mean, we can read it back the other way, that's saying, when there's real Atma Samarpan, real self-giving, that's Diksha Kale, that's the time. Right? It's not a formality. Like we know with the yajna, symbolically, some fruits are being thrown in the fire, some ghee, some grain, some other things. But Guru Maharaj said, really, it's the self that is to be thrown into the fire. We are to offer ourselves. Just like in the Vedic concept, the Gomeda, Ashwamedha, other types, something would be offered into the fire and then come out with a new life. So that's the idea. When we say, what does it mean to offer ourselves? Well, if we're consistent with the Bhagavatam, like tapasya, not, you know, like, you know, take the ice bucket challenge, you know. But, right, stand in water up to your neck, blaze the fire. No, not that. But to voluntarily inconvenience oneself for the sake of spiritual realization. This is every day of our lives. We don't have to hunt for it. The mind, right? Aim on a durmati sangsaravi. The mind, we're dealing with our minds every day over so many things. So we can make incremental progress. That's also appreciated. When Saraswati Thakur said, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the, what is it, perhaps Kalyana Kalpataru, one of his works, he says, but he signs it, Bhaktivinoda, the sweeper in the Namhatta of Nityananda Prabhu, right? Which sometimes rendered as the marketplace of the holy name, right? He says, the lowly sweeper, Kedarnath, you know. But if we can have some conception, what is the Namhat of Nityananda Prabhu? And Saraswati Thakur said, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a sweeper in the Namhat of Nityananda Prabhu, then I'm one of the straws in his broom. Right? And that's like Trinadupi Suni Chena personified. That's so beautiful. Then I'm one of the straws in his broom. Right? And then Guru Maharaj interpreted this by saying, taking it as a sincere expression of the heart of Srila Saraswati Thakur, he said, if you can understand this, then you can understand the construction of the swarup, meaning this type of spiritual hankering and aspiration. One by one by one, these are the units of construction of the swarup, which is really the innate position of the servitor. Right? It will be expressed through service aspiration or in divine lamentation for the inability to serve. That also scores points in Krishna consciousness. Right? Lamentation. All of these things are good in connection with Krishna. So from the beginning, that beginning devotee, it's there too. Sarva Dharma, they're giving up everything and surrendering to Krishna. But Guru Maharaj will invoke Hegel, die to live. Right? You did that before, you shall do it again. Do it tomorrow. Do it, you know, forever. That's how you make progress. He said, if you want to make progress, then you shall have to die as you are at present. That's what die to live. We just hear the word die and freak out because we don't believe the live part, right? That's what he was saying. We're saying all risk, no gain. So it's continuous that the person newly in connection with Krishna consciousness will experience these things. And if they're fortunate and get in the die to live cycle, they'll experience it again. The demands of Krishna conception, the pull of the world and the demands of Krishna, and the pull of his devotees, we can say. The world's pulling on us, but if we're fortunate, out of affection's force, the pull of the devotees, by their affection and their well wishes, and their paradukaduki, their only sadness is seeing for want of Krishna consciousness, they realize people are suffering. So what was the question?
It's in a neophyte position, is it, okay, is it possibility or would it be delusional or dangerous?
Would it be?
Delusional.
Oh, delusional. It can be delusional. Look, Brahma Vimohan. If Brahma can be deluded, what about you? Is it possible? Indra Mohan. Brahma Vimohan. Mahadev Shiva, right, in the Mohini Murti pastime. See, we won't enter that plane. Nobody will enter that plane with a clean record. Who was never bewildered, you know, and never did anything wrong. When Guru Maharaj was talking about something and Parbat Maharaj, who later became Bhuvan Mohan and left the world as Tapashi Maharaj, he was such a sweet devotee and super intelligent too. And Guru Maharaj was presenting some scenario about the material world, and he was just really feeling it, and he was shaking it, and he says, Maharaj, I'm just feeling, you know, some, you know, sympathy or compassion for all these, the innocent people in the world. And Guru Maharaj answered, and he said, there are no innocent people. And then he said, I mean, not in a humorous way, in a very moving, he said, we have all betrayed our Lord. He was just telling the truth. There are no innocent people in this world. This is the world for the guilty, if we want to say that. Another Durga meaning, right? Durga Devi is the superintendent of the jailhouse. Everybody in the jailhouse for some kind of infraction, crime. no matter how cute they might be. Cute criminals. So the mercy of Krishna is his devotees moving in this plane. And everyone in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement has some good fortune. On any mami partha bipasrita ye pishu papayoneo. Striyo boisha tata shudra ye tepiyanti paramgatim. Even a slight connection can deliver the full. Right? Gurudev, it's amazing when you think, Krishna has so many names. You know, if Arjuna says, oh, Madhusudan, there's a reason he said Madhusudan and not Govinda. Sometimes he says Govinda. And the second chapter, he's saying Govinda, Madhusudan, then, you know, and Krishna talking to Arjuna, he calls him by son of Priti, you know, Partha. So here it says, Mam hi Partha, Vyapasritya. Ye pishu papayoneo. So Gurudev was saying, why does Krishna call Arjuna Partha in this sloka? I don't even know if this is in the Gita, if he put it there, but he loves Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavad Gita, you know, a lot, regularly, always picking up Gita and looking for something. So one day he said, why does Krishna say Partha in this sloka? Because what the sloka is saying, Mami Partha Vyapasritya, about taking shelter. Ye Pishu Papayoneo. Papayoni means, sinful birth. We can relate to that. Striyo Vaisha Tata. He's saying, even someone in, it's a, by way of saying, even someone in the lowest position, if they get even a remote connection with this, they can achieve the highest position. That's what he's saying. That's the power of Krishna consciousness. That, and it's all consistent. Radharani is saying, a drop. How much? A drop. Harichan Prabhu, whenever he would give the talk, when you're invited to a mad or, you know, on the festival day, he'd always end with, Ek Bindu Jagat Dubai. Says in Chari, one drop can inundate the world. Ek Bindu, one drop, Jagat Dubai, can drown the universe. That's how powerful it is. But, and we've seen also, they, when the person's speaking and they go, when they want him to stop, they go, they pull the rug. We've actually seen it. They actually pull the rug and the person looks to the side. That's when he's going, Ek Bindu Jagat Dubai. But anyway, so Gurudev said, why Krishna is calling Arjuna Partha? And he said this, I'm sure I'll blow it, but he said it in the most delicate way. He said, because Kunti saying, there's something there in the background? How were all of the Pandavas born? I guess you're going to have to read it in the Mahabharata. Do you know what I'm saying? All right, so Kunti and her magic mantra. I don't want to spell it out more than that. And so he said, Guru, Partha. And that's, see, Krishna's preferred way of revelation is by inference and suggestion. People go, why don't they just spell it out? Well, sometimes they don't. What's unclear about give up everything and surrender to me? Is that unclear? But otherwise, things higher, finer, they're like hinted at. There when it says, Sharanam Braja, we take it to be Braja Sharanam, so that's hinted. A man was visiting in San Jose once, some Indian gentleman who really liked Sanskrit, and we started talking about Sanskrit. And he said, oh, Sanskrit language is so beautiful. There's so many different words for lotus. Kamala, Padma, Ambujaksha, what else, you know? Pankaja, huh? I can't hear you. Nalina, right? There's so many, right? And he said, but each one is used in a particular way. He was like really excited. And I went, yeah, right. So it's like when Krishna says, Sarvadharmam Paritaja, Mam Ekam, you know, surrender to me. It's very meaningful that just the word mom means me, right? And the same man said, oh, I don't know so many words. Oh. Right. Envy of Krishna prevented him from understanding what the word me means. But he can delight in all the different words for lotus. So anyway, the subtle way of conveying the highest truth, that's why he said that. Mam hi Partha, oh Partha, son of Kunti. Like, you can understand how this is true, Arjuna, what I'm telling you. So Bhagavad Gita, on the one hand, is supposed to be so simple, but it's so profound. I find repeatedly reading that it's mysterious. After 45 years, look at some sloka and realize, oh, it means something really different or deeper than I thought, you know, 45 years ago. And that's nothing. What is 45 years, 50 years? Nothing. So if we have a proper estimation of the infinite, then neophyte position, we'll be happy with that. That there's some position. We say, do I have connection with a genuine agent? If that's there, that's our happiness. Then if we serve them, we're praying. Mama janmani janmani shure bhavatat bhaktira hoituki tui. We want continued connection with the genuine agent of Krishna. Through service and association. That's the prayer of the devotee. Bhaktivinoda, kita janmaho jata tua das, bahir mukha brahma janme nahi ash. I'd rather be an insect in the house of a devotee than Brahma as a non-devotee. The only delusion in this regard is if we think that we're surrendered souls. A genuine devotee, as I told, won't think like that. They'll be conscious of all the ways in which they are not surrendered and all the ways they are not qualified. We don't self-certify. You can't give yourself a certificate. Self atma samiksha means self-examination. That's wanted. As Guru Maharaj would say, oil your own machine. Gurudev, finding fault with myself, that's my religion. That then we can make progress.
Maharaj, that was my question that you answered beautifully. Thank you.
Oh.
And just the last hazy part is, when is it neglectfulness?
When is what neglectfulness?
Trying to put ourselves in the care of Krishna, not thinking for ourselves and maintaining ourselves. When is it real and when is it just like being irresponsible, neglectful?
Once there was this this devotee who, we were kids, like teenagers, or in our 20s and something. He was like 40. So for us, that was like, you know, he was an old sage, you know. And Prabhupada suggested that he take sannyas. I mean, it caught him by surprise. Prabhupada said, I think you should take sannyas. And he said, Prabhupada, couldn't I get married for a couple years first? Prabhupada said, rascal! But then this discussion took place about sannyas, and someone else's name came up for sannyas, and someone said, Prabhupada, I think he's doing that to get out of his family responsibility for his wife and his children. And in this particular time, Prabhupada said, whatever the reason, it's good. And Guru would say, rightly or wrongly, if you do it, you have to keep it. So, you know, the only, like, if, in other words, I'm saying these things to acknowledge, let's say someone is trying to escape the responsibility of wife and family. Let's use that example, right? That's what they're doing. But if in doing that, say they came in connection with a genuine Vaishnava agent, they try, and somehow they got transformed in the process, then it would be okay. It would be good for everybody if they did that. That's also possible in Krishna. That doesn't mean the akama, sarvakama, ba. Krishna's the magic wand that just transforms everything. You go for like the wrong reason. You're just an absolute cheater, whatever. But you come in connection with Krishna. He's the greatest cheater. He'll cheat you out of everything. Like Bali Maharaj, Buddha, and others. The best. So, but that said, just like, and api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyavak. What was the qualification for all of this adjustment, forgiveness, ignoring, you know, ananyavak means, you know, unalloyed devotion. That's the criteria where that all works. So then we'll say, well, how to detect that? You know, we like to err on the side of giving somebody the benefit of the doubt. If someone's trying to take shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnav, we are not examining their motives. But it will be seen in time, and that's also dealt with in different places. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it, and other places that if there's, you know, karmakanda, for one, imposing our idea on the higher. That's not devotion proper. So, someone would come to Gurudev and really they just want him to rubber stamp what they want to do. And he's kind enough and gentlemanly enough to say, yes, Prabhu. But if they were a little more thoughtful, they might think, I wonder what Gurudev actually wants me to do. And they might get a different answer. But he's seeing how much they can accept, how much they cannot accept. Maybe at another time, circumstantially, they'll be in a position to take his direct. He doesn't want to push them away. Saraswati Thakur said, if after so many lifetimes, someone's coming out of the ocean of nescience onto the shore of the truth. Right? He said, to push them back in is the most heinous activity. So to deal with devotees, aspiring servitors, in such a way as to push them back, that we're so cautious against doing that, that we might err on the other side of overlooking things. And motive is hard to detect. Some things may be more obvious, but, you know, if we want to use the word pratishtha, we're told that's the most difficult to detect, why somebody's doing something, so that the Vaishnavas are inclined to give the benefit of the doubt. Like Gurudev would say it in his own words, he'd say, my fault is that I believe everyone. He would say it like that. And once I said, no, Maharaj, that is your good quality. And he said, no, he said, because then later sometimes he means that it turned out otherwise. But I thought, but he didn't say, now I'm going to be disbelieve. No, he's continued to believe, meaning that people are approaching me sincerely. They're not perfect. They may have motives, you know, all the things that are described there in the scriptures. We can understand someone's coming from a position of lack of qualification and coupled with impurity, but they're making their approach. So the Vaishnavas are encouraging that and thinking as they come closer to the center, Krishna-centered and Krishna-centered life and everything, that they'll be purified of those things. That we're hoping for also in our own case. Like Guru Maharaj said, approach the Department of Mercy. And we're hoping that our flaws, impurities, bad tendencies will be ignored and the Lord and His devotees will be merciful to us. And they're thinking, through that extension of mercy and grace, that the aspiring servitor will be transformed. But, you know, Gurudev's family thought he was being neglectful of them, right? And his mother, before she became divinely initiated and everything, came with the village group, right? Because we used to hear that, you know, in India, there's no, like, until recently, screens. They're just like bars on the windows. There's wooden shutters, and then there's bars. So we used to hear this famous story of some devotee, his family tried to take him, and he held on to the bars. Yeah. It was Srila Govinda Maharaj. He's the one. They're trying to take him back to the village, and he's holding on to the bars. And if you know Gurudev, you know this is true. That's just the kind of thing he would do. So they can't. And then he said, some pundit that they brought with them too, he said, no, don't force him. Like, this isn't the way to do it. He didn't like that. They're physically just going to drag him out of the mat back to his hometown. And so the man said, no, not like that. You know, we should talk to Sridhar Maharaj. You know, and then they go and they meet with Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj says, like, gives some talk and calms everybody down and says, if he wants to go, he can go. I have no objection. So now they can't blame Guru Maharaj. But Gurudev said, I'm not going. Then Guru said, what can I do? He wants to stay. But the old man said, no, not to force. That's the wrong way. But, and then what happened, it's really a practical answer to your question. He converts his mother, brother, and they all become disciples of Guru Maharaj. They get converted by him. He becomes the touchstone. Because he There, you could say from a mundane point of view, there was some neglect, but it's like this sloka, Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Pitrinam. It's a famous sloka saying, once you become a genuine devotee, you're no longer a debtor to, you know, family, ancestors, the devatas, anybody. So because he did really offer himself to Guru Maharaj, everything was, you know, divine. And not only that, they got benefit even in this lifetime, not just some future time, but he caught their affection for him drew and their growing reverence for what he did and his spiritual, how do you say, you know, manifestation, that they took shelter of Guru Maharaj too. He converted the family. That's the way we'd like this to go. Hare Krishna. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namo. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Adaita Chandra Garadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Echai gochai kori charana bandhan Jaha hoite vignanash abhishta puran Echai gochai jar muitaro das Tansabara padarenu mora pancha gras Tandera charana sevi bhakta sane vas Janome janome moi ei abilas Echai gochai jabe braje koilo vas Radha Krishna nitya lila korila prakash Anande bolo hari baja vrindavan Anande bolo hari baja vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava pade majai aman Sri Guru Vaishnava pad padma koriyas Harinam Sankirtan Kohe Narottama Das Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Nitai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhaja Kacharya Sathara Sathya Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai.